You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Fight Disciples.
We are gathered here today
for the Fight Disciples UFC and boxing talk.
Welcome to podcast episode number 276. We are the Fight Disciples. This one is dedicated to the world of mixed martial arts, mainly UFC, but there's a lot to talk about from other franchises this weekend. So we'll get stuck into that in a moment or two. If this is the first time you've ever come across us, you can subscribe via iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. And you can get all our Android feeds, Spotify, anything that you wish on our website, fightdisciples.com. All over social media too, at Fight Disciples on Facebook, Twitter and YouTube, at The Fight Disciples on Instagram. And I encourage you to go there this week because there's a lot of content going up because we've got a few videos with various fighters from boxing and from MMA. Going up on our website with UFC Prague coming up this weekend and Chris Fishgold being in action. Now,
I've done an interview with Fishy. We'll put it on the website this week.
Did you not listen to that intro that I just did? I said go to our YouTube channel because there will be videos going up from the world of boxing and the world of mixed martial arts because this week Chris Fishgold's on in Prague. Now, people listening to the show will have automatically thought, oh, the lads have spoken to Fishy. It's tremendous. You fucking moron. Who's been in Amsterdam? Me or you?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I've spoken to them. But that. Yeah, listen to what I'm saying, man.
Sorry.
Is that what it is?
I zoomed out.
This is what you do, right?
When... I zoomed out for a minute.
No, I'm getting a little bit upset about this because there's a geezer. I don't know whether you're paying him or whatever, right? He keeps tweeting the show on our account saying, well, it doesn't matter if Adam's not there, just fucking put the show up because all he does is edit it anyway. This is what happens. You and this lad, whoever he is, Nath, or whatever he's called, right? I reckon you two, because I know that you do it, you fast forward my bits in the show. That's what you do. Boring. Right, next.
Absolutely.
And as soon as you can hear a little bit of Scouse twang, you slow it down a bit so you can listen to the show.
Straight back in.
Is that what you just do in general life whenever I'm speaking? You just switch off?
Pretty much.
Is it?
Pretty much.
Shall we start?
Please.
Okay. Now, with me being in Amsterdam over the weekend, I never watched any mixed martial arts live. So I've
you
had to...
lucky bastard.
Well, I've had to catch up.
You're looking at the headliners.
Yes.
You lucky bastard.
I checked a lot of my social media feeds because you were at Cage Warriors yourself. Mm-hmm. There were two Bellator shows and a UFC show. And as I'm reading it, I'm thinking, I picked a decent weekend to be away here. This is not too good. However, I did put myself through the pen of MVP... and Paul Daly. Now, all I can do is apologise. Now, I know when we started this show, when we started Fight Disciples three and a bit years ago, our boxing show immediately took off.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the majority of our listenership was coming from, our boxing show. Yeah. Now, over a period of time, we've convinced quite a lot of boxing fans, hey, man, come over to MMA. MMA's all right. Mm-hmm. It's not that bad. You know, yes, we'll tell you how it is. There's a few boring bits, but there's some nice bits as well. And hopefully you can come on a little bit of a journey with us. Now, over a period of 3.5 years, what we've seen with the listenership of our MMA show and our boxing show, they've aligned.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of boxing fans have come over and they've gone, actually, it's all right. And these lads tell it how it is. We've got to do that exactly right now. Because on last week's show, we were having a wank. We were giving you the big one. We were saying, listen, come and watch this. Because this is going to be flames. It's going to be tremendous. Is MVP the real deal? Paul Semtex Daly only knows how to fight one way. They're going to throw down. It's going to go off. I'm sorry. I didn't see that coming.
No.
I didn't see Semtex deciding to totally change his game plan and do something that he's never, ever done in a mixed martial arts octagon. He's never fought like that.
No.
What was he playing at?
He's had a go at people for fighting like that as well. He's had previous fights where he's publicly slammed people like John Fitch for behaving like that and for taking that kind of attitude. That is not Paul Daly at all. That is not how he competes.
You don't get a nickname, Semtex, right? By leg fucking someone.
Yeah.
Get in there and throw your fists. Yeah, you might get caught, but fuck it, man.
Mate, all the experience Daly's got as well. Like, I don't know. I think he just tried to catch Michael Venn and Page off.
No, I'll tell you what it was. It's the fear of losing to him.
Yeah, maybe
it was
so,
the fear of losing to him.
Did he lose to him, though?
Yeah, of course.
He did lose to him. But and he,
fear of getting knocked out by him then, maybe.
That's definitely what it was, yeah. The fear of getting stopped, the fear of getting humiliated by Michael Venom Page, forced Paul Daly to go against all his natural instincts and to fight like a crab. And he's got to live with that now, unfortunately. He'd be better off going out on his sword than putting in a performance like that, because it was shite. It was terrible.
Just think,
Terrible fight.
For us in the UK, and I know there's people that are in America that listen to this as well, but for us in the UK, this was the first one that was on the new Sky Sports package deal.
Yeah.
MMA's not been on Sky Sports for a long period of time. A lot of people will have taped it, some will have stayed up to watch it, no question about it.
Well, loads of fuck, because Sky or someone at Bellator advising Sky completely fucked up the timings. I only got to see the main event because I know with Bellator, you know, they've fucked up in the past. So I recorded an extra hour after the scheduled program had finished to make sure I got the entire fight. Had I not done that, I wouldn't have even had the first round of this fight. And loads of fight fans were going, fuck's sake, I recorded it. And all I've got is halfway through Mirko Crocop versus Roy Nelson and my feed's gone off because the actual scheduled program...
Is yours a Sky box?
No, I've got a Virgin, but
maybe
I did an extra
hour. Maybe that's what it is then. Because my Sky took care of it.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. Well, Virgin, you've got to fucking make sure you do the extra hour as well.
Ah, right.
Just in case it runs over. And it was starting at 4 a.m. and I was like, you show me the entire main card in the space of 2 hours? Well, there's like 8 fights on here or 6 fights or whatever it was. It's
right.
Like, that will not, you won't get that many fights in. Never mind if they're all first round knockouts. Programming, it should be 30 minutes per fight. That's kind of how it breaks down. 6 fights here, that's at least 2.5 hours. And you're giving me 2 hours of broadcast time. So that's why I recorded the extra hour. I'm lucky I did, otherwise I wouldn't have even seen the fight at all. Well, maybe that would have been a blessing.
Yeah.
If you did miss it, you didn't miss fuck all. Mm. It's not a fight you want to go back and watch again. And it was the most un-Michael Page, un-Paul Daly performances you'd ever likely to see. And that is really what is the most upsetting, because I felt for people like Gareth, or mate Gareth A. Davies, who build this up to fuck. I feel for him because he's in, man. You know, he's trying to push this Bellator product to us. And we were in. That was the fight. It's on Sky. Two fucking big names. Admit the biggest fight featuring two Brits. The most significant fight featuring two Brits on the biggest stage we've seen two Brits compete on. Don't get me wrong. You know, if Till and Edwards win in London, they both fight each other at the end of the year. That becomes the biggest fight featuring two Brits. But right here, right now, Daly versus MVP was the biggest fight we've seen in the sport at the highest level featuring two Brits. And for it to play out like that... In the most un-British way possible. I felt for everyone, man. Mate, I was disappointed for everybody.
Loses fans. Because
of course,
you only get
mean.
One first impression, don't you?
Exactly.
A lot of Brits, maybe listening to this and various other podcasts or various other radio shows. Or
people
who
don't
people
have BT Sports, yeah. Who have only got Sky packages.
What's
gone,
the, what's,
okay, finally, yeah, I'll have a look
exactly.
at this MMA. Yeah.
I'll tape it, I'll have a look. And then you've gone in. I reckon you'll have only watched the first round and gone, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Well, the undercard didn't help. You know, loads of old legends going to points decisions. And they're talking up, Mirko Crocop, this and
rubbish.
Pride and blah. If you're a newbie fan, you're like, I don't know who the fuck this guy is. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm here for one thing only.
Knockout.
These two British guys who've been going at each other hammer and tong for a year on Sky Sports News. That's why I'm here. But I'll put it on because this guy is the most crazy knockout merchant in the world. And this guy apparently has been knocking people out with one punch with the death touch for the last 10 years. I mean, show me something. And they've watched 5 minutes, as you say, and gone, this is fucking wank. I'm going to bed. I'll stick with Premier League football, thanks.
Mm.
And that is what Bellator's missed out on, big time.
I know we're throwing a lot of shade on this Bellator main event. Shall we throw some shade on other main events from around the world over the weekend?
Yeah, exactly, because there was 4 main events, and all 4 main events from the 4 biggest shows of the weekend were terrible. They just didn't deliver.
So Bellator on Friday night, yeah?
Yeah, Bellator 215 on Monday night was
Friday night.
Friday night, sorry, was Mitrione versus Karatinov. That ended after 15 seconds after Mitrione kicked him in the plums. I swear to God, Karatinov must be like fucking, you know, he'd be singing We're Walking in the Air tone perfectly right now.
Yeah.
I hope he's got kids because he ain't ever having kids again. So that fight was ruled a no contest.
Seconds.
Literally the first thing he did. He literally come out, circled each other, and Mitrione just kicked him in the bollocks. It was like a fight outside Yates's where you go like, street fight, here we go. Fuck this, I'm just going to kick it in the nuts and the fight's over. That's exactly how it played out. Then, of course, MVP Paul Daly completely and utterly failed to deliver.
Mm.
I was at Cage Warriors where Tom Aspinall was fighting. And like Tom Aspinall, we waited 3 years. We had all the build up. Oh, Tyson Fury's training partner, Darren Till's training partner. He fights Booker Chew's, a dangerous opponent. And they're circling, circling, circling. And it was like, again, seconds into the fight before Aspinall throws a low leg kick, a left leg kick. Booker Chew throws a right kick. Aspinall checks it with his left. And Booker Chew's leg just completely and utterly shatters.
Very Anderson Silva, Chris Weidman, wasn't
exactly
it?
Exactly like Anderson Silva, Chris Weidman. It goes viral immediately. And that was like...
End of the fight.
End of the fight. And then, of course, on Sunday night, we went and had Cain versus Francis Ngannou. 26 seconds in, Cage missed the glass. Cain's body fucking breaks down.
Yeah. On this.
Game over.
On this, right.
Not a good weekend.
Well, let's
for
go to that main event. Let's go to Ngannou versus Cain, right? Because we were excited about this. Can all the rhetoric last week on this show, is Cain's body up to it?
Yep.
That was the chat.
Yep.
If his body's up to it, we're in for a cracker because Cain, on his day, is the best.
Yeah.
Heavyweight, no question. His body's not up to it.
No.
Now, all these other dudes that were watching it and commenting on it, that work in the world of mixed martial arts journalism, stop telling me that the dude knocked him out. He didn't knock him out.
No.
Do what?
It's even been scored KO knockout.
Oh, mate.
It's utter nonsense.
Mate, come on, right? Oh, the power in Francis Ngannou. What? Little short arm jab. No, fuck off, right? A proper Ngannou punch is when he took Overeem's head off. That I'll give you that. He knocked him out that night.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of a he was pushing him slightly, and Cain's quite obviously. You watch the replay. His legs give way, and as soon as his legs give way, watch his face. His face. He goes fuck. He's in agony.
Yeah.
Now I don't know whether the referee, maybe because he's got his back to him or whatever it may be, he's thought, oh, was there a punch? He's been hit and all that type of stuff. And listen. The referee's job is to protect the fighter at all times. He is incapacitated. He can't fucking walk, mate, right? Yeah. The referee's done a good job. I'm not saying that it's a bad stoppage or anything like that. It's a top stoppage because he's going to get pummeled in 2 seconds. But if his knee doesn't give way, how does the fight play out? We don't know.
No.
We don't know. We don't know where Francis Ngannou's at this moment in time because 26 seconds into the fight, his opponent's leg gave way. And that is the reason why that fight ended.
100%. And, you know, there's not much you can see or analyse in 26 seconds like that. You know, yes, Cain was pouring forward, obviously looking to drive him up. Exactly what we said, drive him up against the fence, look for the takedown, beat him up on the ground.
Yeah.
That's what he was trying to do. Obviously, Ngannou was swinging away. It would have to be like Bruce Lee's phantom one-inch punch to carry any kind of power in that position. Cain's pretty much got his head on Ngannou's chest anyway because he's kind of stumbling forward, as I say, looking for the legs, looking for the takedown. And Ngannou's kind of leaning back towards the fence and just kind of lifting his head up. The punches he's throwing, or the cuffing shots he's throwing, they're not knockout punches, they're not power punches.
He hasn't got enough leverage to throw the
stand
shot.
Up. Yeah, exactly. They're trying to push Cain's head up so he can get some hooks on there to stand Cain up to stop him from taking him down. They're not power shots, you fucking morons. They're just little... I think it was Cain, because people are going, yeah, but what happens is you land an uppercut like that and then your brain gets combobulated and then your brain can't tell your knee to be straight and then your knee gives a fuck off. What the fuck are you talking about? What the fuck are you talking about? If that was the case, when Cain falls down, you would have seen his eyes going in different directions. You would have seen him visibly hit by the punch.
Mm.
But he wasn't. As he was falling, he's gone, ah, as if to go, my fucking leg's just gone. That's what he was doing. You don't get punched in the face and respond by going, ah, and a big scream. It doesn't happen. That's not the response when you get punched in the head.
Mm.
It doesn't happen like that. So all that nonsense, I still can't believe, as I say, it's down as a KO because it's, you know, it was a TKO. It was a doctor stoppage. It was a, you know, whatever you want to call it, a count out, whatever you want to call it. But it is what it is. You know what? It kind of... That's the end for Cain now.
Oh, absolutely. He has to pack it in now.
He's got to. His body's just... His body's let him down.
He's not talking like that, though, is he? He's saying, well, I don't know what's... Mate, I'll tell you what's next.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Because his body's just in bits. You know, he had his time. There was a time there. It's like Chris Weidman. There was a moment in time when he was the best heavyweight around. And people were saying, whoa, this guy could be the best heavyweight we've ever seen. We get that all the time in MMA, obviously, because it's only a 26-year-old sport. But he's had his time. He can't bounce back now. He's had such a long time out to recover from injuries. And now his body's just broken down after 26 seconds again. That's got to be a red flag to say. Physically, we just can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All those years of grinding on the wrestling mats, his knees, his back, his ankles... he's just shot to bits. It is what it is. There's no way back from this.
Mm. Speaking of, I'll tell you what, on the back of that, off the knee injury which ended a fight, let's talk about Felder. Because I read a report on Felder yesterday regarding...
This is true. This is true.
What?
With a punctured lung.
With a collapsed lung in the last round and he just cracks on.
Can you believe that shit?
He's off his head, isn't he?
Don't forget, this is Paul Felder that broke his arm doing a spin and back fist in a previous fight.
And carried on throwing them.
And finished the fight. The guys said on last week's show, he's fucking made a scrap iron, Paul Felder.
Yeah.
He's absolutely unreal. And
it's a great fight between him and James Vick. There is another fight which I'll get to in a minute, but that was I enjoyed it.
It was a brilliant fight. And to be honest with you, kudos as well. I mentioned it last week that I was really disappointed with Dominic Cruz's commentary the other week. And I was like, oh, he's lost it, man. How the fuck was I saying he's the best around? I thought his commentary on this event, and particularly for this fight, was absolutely spot on. So I'm just putting that down now as Dominic Cruz had a bad night the other week because I thought he was fucking outstanding again. And in this fight especially, the way he was breaking down Vic, and for such an accomplished Golden Gloves level boxer, Vic, he does an half stand with his head chin up in the air.
Yeah, he does.
He reminds me a lot of Stefan Struve in the heavyweight division. He's so big. He's 6'3" and he makes 155 pounds. Yeah. How the fuck... He's 2 inches taller than me, and he makes £155. I remember when I was training properly and in shape, it took a sports scientist to get me at 6'1" down to £168 to ride the racehorse. And I swear to God, I was like a fucking crackhead. Honestly, I was so thin and frail, it was unbelievable.
You got big bones though, ain't you? Heavy bones.
I've got a big cock and all that. I don't know about heavy bones. You've got a big head.
Listen, you've only said that, so then the orange ape does one of them photo memes of you with a massive schlong. That's the only reason you've said that.
That African dude with the big schlong on my face.
Yeah, because you want now that as your profile pic. Isn't it?
Don't say that, he'll probably do the opposite. No. Don't say that.
Little nudge you, that's all you need.
The point I'm trying to make is, he's 2 inches taller than me, and physically a sports scientist at John Moores University, my minimum weight, and granted I was 30 at the time, 31, whatever it was, my minimum weight was £168. You had to find a horse specially that could take my weight and go on a racetrack and everything else. And physically, I couldn't have got any lighter.
So what you're saying is still shifts a feather
how
stone.
How can a 6'3" man make £155?
Not healthily.
How does that work?
Well, you know that. You know that this game, what this is, he's killing himself to get himself down there, literally.
It's fucking unbelievable. So, listen, I'm a huge fan of James Vick.
Yeah.
And for me, he is a sleeping giant. However, quite literally, what Dominic Cruz is picking up on here with Felder, he does snap, he pours the jab out and pushes his chin up in the air. And Cruz nailed it, and I was like, my God, you are absolutely right. How can such an accomplished boxer be like that? Now, the only way to think about it is he's punching down because he's fighting the much smaller guys, or he's weight training lethargic. He's not fucking, he hasn't got that zip in him. He hasn't got that head movement. Mm-hmm. His head movement's dead straight. He doesn't move his head at all. James Vick could be like an Anthony Smith. James Vick's true potential could be up at welterweight rather than this lightweight division. And I think that's the logical move for him next. You lose against Paul Felder, with all due respect to Paul Felder, tough as old boots, love the guy, would love him to go on a run now. But he ain't ever going to be lightweight champion. I truly thought Vic may have had a run at the lightweight belt, had a chance at it.
Mm.
I want to see Vic move up to welterweight now. Let his body fill out.
Regarding Felder.
Great fight, though.
Yo, fucking mate, it was a great fight.
Felder's been pulled, he was supposed to be doing the ESPN desk in Prague this weekend. But he's been pulled because he got a fucking collapsed lung.
Yeah.
How'd you fight with a collapsed lung?
Well, Paul Felder, that's what
Jesus
you do.
Jesus Christ.
They're talking about him and Gaethje. Can you imagine that?
Fuck.
Can you imagine that?
Wow.
Just lock the cage behind these two and let them have a do.
That's a pay-per-view event, that, isn't it? That's a pay-per-view.
Don't need a title.
No referee required. No judges required. Just pride it. Just fucking give them a 10-minute round. Just let them fight for 10 minutes non-stop.
Fight of the night, and I agree with this because having watched everything back, I read the report of the night. I saw what fight of the night were. I had to go really early in the prelims to get it. But Vicente Luque against Brian Barberina.
Brilliant.
It's a great fight.
Fucking brilliant.
So that's the only thing I'm going to recommend from this weekend. If you haven't seen that, go and have a little bit of a knock. Three rounds
to be honest,
mess.
I know we were saying there about the main event, the four main events failing to deliver, absolutely. But I thought the card, the UFC card from Sunday night was brilliant. Mm. Obviously, the main event didn't happen, but the card itself was brilliant.
How did Barberena survived that first round?
No fucking idea.
Because it was like he was getting hit in the head with a cricket bat constantly.
I know, but then there was times in the second round I was like, how good is Luke Hay's chin?
I'm talking the first round. Just the first round.
Yeah.
Barbarena got his head kicked in the first round. And he was still there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then obviously dished it back out in the second round. That's why it's such a tremendous fight, because there's a lot of back and forth in there and a lot of ebbs and flows.
Just amazing chins. You're just like, how the fuck are you getting cracked with those 4-ounce gloves like that? And you're just walking forward and just pushing it off. And it was a shame in the end that Barbarena got stopped, because he'd weathered so much pain early on. But these are the type of fights where you're like, you know, I have the conversation all the time with people who dip in and out of fight sports, but more boxing fans than MMA, and you go, well, you know, that MMA, it's a lot more dangerous. And I'm like, actually, no, you know, I would say boxing's probably more dangerous, because you get more repetitive head trauma than in MMA. It doesn't really happen. But then you see fights like this, and you're fuck me. You know what I mean? They're the fights that take miles off the clock, and the finish by Luque with those knees on Barbarena, Jesus Christ, what a way to finish the fight. But for me, that wasn't even the standout moment.
Don't talk to me about Kron. Is that what it is?
Stole the fucking show.
Right. Go on. Give us your spiel, and then I'm gonna counterattack it.
Well, it was one absolutely 100% predicted on this show last week that we were going to see.
Mate, everybody in the world predicted that a Gracie would take someone's back and choke the fucker out. I love that. I know that I'll give you some valuable insight on last week's show.
Against a guy that's been tapped out before. I thought he was fucking remarkable. And you know what? Do you know why it made me especially happy?
Go on.
It's 25 years since we've seen a Gracie take someone's back, sub them out inside the octagon.
Correct. You know, we've been 94, yeah?
And it's given me newfound confidence that Liverpool are going to win the league.
That's
because...
What do you mean? You didn't win it in 94. You didn't win anything in 94.
It's been a period of time. I'm just saying. It's fucking...
Oh, don't... Looking for fucking dodgy connections in order to bring it back to your football.
It's been 20 years, and I just think this is the year. If Kron Gracie's back, if the Gracie family is back doing their thing in the UFC, Liverpool are going to win the league. It was an omen. I seen it. It was in my tea bags.
How have you connected that?
I've connected it. That's all you need to know.
No.
I've connected it. Liverpool are going to win the league.
Right.
Because Gracie's are submitting people inside the octagon.
I'll tell you where my beef is with Gracie, right? The performance is brilliant. Yeah. No question about it. But
even as a non-jiu-jitsu guy, someone that's learning the jiu-jitsu side of the sport, as it goes along,
I enjoyed it.
You must have seen that and gone, that's fucking amazing.
Yes, it was. It was, right? But as we've seen with Gracie's in the past, one-trick ponies, son. Absolute one-trick ponies. What about if someone who's got an half-decent Brazilian jiu-jitsu game can... Listen, he's legit, right? But if you know what he's going to do, because he's only going to do one thing, and if you were multifaceted in this sport, all the top champions across the line, right, they're at least 9 out of 10 in two disciplines in this sport. At least 9 out of 10. You look, for example, Tyron Woodley, good wrestling background, can knock people out, right? Look all the way down the champions, they're at least decent in two. I don't know whether Kron Gracie's got good fists. I don't know. But I know that he's fucking 10 out of 10 when it comes to taking people's backs, yeah? Similar to a Demian Maia.
Yep.
There's ways to beat him, is what I'm saying. Yes, it's exciting. There's a Gracie in the UFC. He's put in a wonderful debut performance. It couldn't have gone any better for him. As he steps up, is he going to get found out? I'm going to say yes.
But you could argue that he is so good at jiu-jitsu. He is such an elite grappler.
Yeah.
If he gets hold of you, he's submitting you. It's like Caceres there tried to stay on his feet. He just fucking pulled guard. That's it. And he's on such an elite level that if he gets hold of you, there's nothing you can do. No matter how good you are at jiu-jitsu, this is the guy. This is one of the top guys on the planet at that sport. Is he at such an elite level that it don't fucking matter? It doesn't matter if you've got a black belt or whatever. This guy is...
Or if you've got rockets in your fists.
This guy is pure lineage. Oof. Do you know what I mean? He's pure blood.
You love that.
Do you know what I mean?
You love all that shit, don't you?
Listen, I was watching Harry Potter with the kids yesterday. Yeah. The kids have got fucking chicken pox, and we had a little bit of Harry Potter action on.
Yeah.
And what you're describing, these jiu-jitsu guys, they're mudbloods. They're mudbloods. This guy is... Pure lineage.
Is it?
Pure lineage. And, you know, as he said afterwards, he was like, you know, whatever, that's fucking routine shit for me. That was the tip of the iceberg of what this guy could potentially do. Now, I'm not doubting what you're saying. Like Damian Maia, is it enough? Is it enough? But don't forget, Damian Maia... kind of like Fabrizio Verdum. Yeah. Kind of like, there's quite a few jiu-jitsu guys that get into this sport. They start, they make their name submitting the fuck
and
out of people.
Punch.
And then they go, oh, yeah, well, actually, yeah, you know, I'm training with this guy now, so I'm going to start knocking people out. And then, listen, Fabrizio Verdum become a world champion because of his, the Muay Thai that was put on him by Rafael Cadeiro. Don't get me wrong. However, it's different with them because they're trying to be all-round mixed martial artists. Cron Gracie is like, I am the Gracie family. We started this fucking game with one way to win, and I'm going to continue to win that way. There's no pressure on him to ever knock anybody out. I don't want to see him knock anyone out. We talked about it last week. His family would disown him if he knocked someone out. He has got to submit everybody all the way to the top. And the thing is, he will get the opportunities as well because of who he is and because of the name he is. First person to tweet after he won, fucking Conor McGregor, it's an honour to have you in the sport. Like, people respect the lineage, respect his family. It's a pure, it's a weird jiu-jitsu stoner thing. You know what they're like? They're like a cult jiu-jitsu people. And once you're in that cult, you're in it for life. Do you know what I mean? They're like this weird fucking thing. And he's going to get mad respect in the sport, and he will continue to do nothing but take people's necks. And for that, I'm fucking super excited. Absolutely, I'm excited.
Where are you at with Hen and Brown?
I am...
Because that losing streak is still going, bro.
Yeah, I think it's probably time the UFC will cut them loose now.
Yeah.
Because...
It's an amazing fall from grace, isn't it? From being the best bantamweight on the planet, in many people's eyes,
yeah,
to where he's at right now is mad. Just that he's just fallen off a cliff.
I was... I just remember when he won the championship, I was in London. It must be 6 years ago now. I was in London. He fought Michael McDonald in Wembley Arena, one of them, and he became the UFC champion. And right there and then you were like, boom, this is it. Him and his pal Jose Aldo, who's the champion at lightweight, these fucking guys are running this game now. And after that, he steamed through Uriah Faber and you're like, yeah, man, this is the guy. Then he lost the belt to TJ Dillashaw, which was
it.
A massive surprise. And since then, what? Has he won one? Has he won two in the last fucking 10 fights or whatever it is?
Mm.
I don't know. He's tried to play around. He's tried to move up to featherweight. He's moved back down to bantamweight. You know, and it's not like, not every opponent is a Jeremy Stephens. You know, this guy, Luke Sanders, was brought in. You know, Andre Ewell before this. These are fringe guys in the UFC. I think the UFC will cut him loose.
Mm.
They will cut him loose. And you know what? It's probably not a bad thing because he's not the Hen and Barrow he once was.
Mm.
He's a shadow of the monster that he used to be. Mm. It's scary.
That's the UFC. I didn't catch any of the Cage Warriors. You were there. Is anything stand out from that Cage Warriors card in Liverpool?
Yeah, it was brilliant. You know, and as I say, the main event was a little bit of a letdown in terms of what happened to both Booker Chu, who, by the way, had surgery on his leg, and you know, I was told he was flying back to France on Monday, so hopefully he makes a complete recovery, although it probably will be a long one. But I'm gutted for Tom Aspinall. You know, been around the Cowboy camp and everything else, and everyone's buzzing there at the moment with Grundy getting on the UFC bill, Till getting in shape for the UFC event, and it was like, right, okay, here's Tom's first fight in 3 years, headlining Cage Warriors, fucking let's do it. And I was speaking to him afterwards, he was devastated, absolutely devastated afterwards, and you know, I was like, this is fight sports, unfortunately. Sometimes shit happens. It's not, and he was saying that all the work I've been doing, you know, I wanted to show people. And he was like, for the first round, I was just going to feel him out and just have a little bit of a move around and get a little bit of a sweat on. And then in the second round, I really wanted to step up the pace and show everyone what I can actually do. And he said, it just didn't get started. You know, we circled each other a few times. Tom had fired out a jab or two, was getting a nice bit of head movement going, and then he fainted something. And Bukachu, as you do against strikers, you know, he threw a leg kick at that front leg, thinking, take the base from under Aspinall, slow him down. And Tom just lifted his leg and just checked it. And his shin just wrapped around the back of Tom's left leg. And you've probably all seen it now, Viley.
Mm-hmm.
Dolly Crew, the Cage Warriors photographer, absolutely caught the moment from the most perfect angle. But I know Cage Warriors, and we retweeted it, put the actual moment out anyway. And that was the thing I said to Tom. I said, shitty situation, shitty especially for Bukachu, but in a perverse world, was that not a brilliant thing that happened to Aspinall? Because his moment gets viral. You know, if he knocks him out or it's a referee stoppage, does it go as viral as that? Probably doesn't. I know that's a shit sadistic way to look at things, but that's kind of the way Aspinall's got to take it now. But from the card itself, there was a cracking... I had the two lads dinner on my show, Tim Barnett and Adam Ventry, the two Merseysiders who had a bit of a derby fight on there. Ventry absolutely won the first round, looked brilliant, even though he was way out of his weight division. But Barnett, eventually, that size, that strength just caught up with Ventry, and he finished him with some excellent power knees and some good punches. But it was a card littered with talent. There was about fucking 16 fights on there as well. It was really enjoyable, man. I love Cage Warriors shows.
Fun?
Yeah, they did it at the Exhibition Centre, which was next door to the M&S Bank Arena. And I was chatting to the Cage Warriors staff, and they were like, actually, it's an exhibition space, so it's just an open lot, basically. And they went, they can actually put seats in here and make it for 10,000 people, which is actually bigger than the actual arena itself. Bizarrely enough, they never set it up for that. Obviously, there was probably about, you know, 5,000-6,000 in there, I'm guessing. But the atmosphere was wicked because they had loads of local guys on and stuff like that. So it was a good show. Disappointed for Aspinall. Over the moon for Barnett after the nightmare 2018. He bounced back in style. But yeah, man.
Now, as we said at the start of the show, there will be a video of Nick with Chris Fishgold going on our YouTube, even though Nick wasn't listening and maybe has forgot about that he did that interview last week. That'll be going on our YouTube at this point. But let's talk about Fishy. Great opportunity for him this weekend. UFC Prague. And he has waited such a long period of time to get himself involved with the UFC. We know about his escapades with Cage Warriors. He's mopped up at that level.
Yeah.
And this is an opportunity for him to really start making some statements now on what we would class as the Champions League franchise.
Yeah, as I say, the video will be up there this week. I was chatting to him on Saturday night, and weird thing is I've known Chris Fishgold for 10 years, maybe a bit less. You know, I've known him for an awful long time. I've been around him. I've never, ever had a sit-down interview with him before. I've never, ever done a one-on-one with him because he's not big on media anyway. He just loves the sport. He loves being a martial artist. Then when I seen him on Saturday, I was like, we are doing an interview. We're fucking doing it. And it shocked me because I've been around him before and he's super quiet. You know, he's one of them guys, gets his work done, goes out the exit. You know, he doesn't really stick around. And I was thinking, okay, this might be a little bit like hard work and whatever. I tell you what, he was insane. He was brilliant. One of the best interviews I've done for a long time. Super chatty. And he was like, I'm probably quite round a bend here because I haven't had carbs for 2 weeks. But he was just fueled on adrenaline. He was loving it. Obviously, the Cage Warriors action was going on. And he was like, listen, I got thrown a tough one. You know, I went out to Canada for my debut, fought Calvin Kattar, who's a fucking ranked guy. He's a strong guy. And I knew that was going to be tough. And obviously, he was devastated. All the things come into play. Inactivity. Fighting in Canada for the first time. When he flew in, he was way over his weight. So he had to get his weight under control. You know, he wasn't making excuses for the defeat because he was like, I needed it. I needed that defeat because it puts me now back at a level to be hungry again. Because he said there was one point in Cage Warriors where he's winning so often, he was kind of going through the motions. He wasn't really in love with the sport. And as I say, go and watch all the interview, but he's fired up for this weekend. He sees David Timor as a, I wouldn't say easy meal, but basically he said, if I can't fucking smash David Timor to bits, I've got no business being in the UFC anyway. That's Chris Fishgold's attitude. Go and watch the video on YouTube. It's good, man.
The main event, as I'm pumped up for the main event. We're between Jan Vlahovic and Thiago Santos. Obviously, we've seen both of these guys in with Jimmy. And they've both beaten Jimmy. In different ways, but they've both beaten Jimmy. My learns from their fights with Jimmy is that Jan Vlahovic has a head like a fucking breeze block. Yeah. It's going to take something very, very special to get rid of him. Thiago Santos, since moving up in weight, has been knocking dudes out for fun. But there's still this thing with me and him where I'm thinking, is he really a light heavyweight or is he a middleweight? I don't know. I think this is the moment this weekend where we find out, because Jan Vlahovic is tough as fuck. And if Thiago Santos can get rid of him this weekend, we've got to start talking, mate. He's in the mix. Someone's got to give him a shout. Maybe an eliminator fight for John Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And I don't know why. I think it's because I've been spoiled a little bit with Blachowicz. I've seen him fight so often. And, you know, all me head is telling me this is another 5-round points division for Blachowicz.
Yeah.
You know, he's building up a bit of momentum.
That's what
now,
it says on paper, doesn't it? But we don't know enough with Thiago.
knowing how strong he is at 205, the fact that he smoked Jimmy.
Yeah.
So he bangs. We know he can bang. Will him smoking Jimmy make Blachowicz fight the way he fought Jimmy the second time, which was don't fucking engage in exchanges, work his way through the fight, you know, keep Jimmy at length, then work on the inside, take him down, tying him out. I think Thiago Santos blowing away Jimmy has made Blachowicz the red flag come up. I think there was more chance of it being a brawl, but now I think Blachowicz is just going to get in there and try and grind him out and get the job done. The point is, can Thiago Santos keep him off long enough to catch him with a big shot? That's what I'm hoping for. Yeah. You know, I feel like Thiago Santos, rather like Anthony Smith, could breathe a little bit of new life into this light heavyweight division. Let's be honest, Jimmy and Jan Blachowicz have been in and around the top 10 for the last couple of years, but none of them have been able to make that jump to contender status. I think if Thiago Santos can smoke Blachowicz on the back of smoking Jimmy, I think that 100% pushes him forward as a viable contender.
Mm. What are the other fights that stick out for you? Is the John Dodson, Petr Yan fight something that tickles your taste buds?
Yeah, that'll be fun. Obviously, I'm looking out for Fish Gold as well. I think Ankalaev against the Bruder light heavyweights there, I think that could steal the show as well. I like that. Magomed Ankalaev, he's an absolute beast. Another one of these fucking Dagestani monsters. He was the guy that he was undefeated. Well, sorry, I'll rephrase that. He should be 12-0 undefeated, but he was the guy in London. Remember we were doing a radio show from London and we watched our boy from Scotland, Paul Craig, get absolutely beat the fuck up for 14 minutes and 50 seconds.
Yeah.
And then right at the death from nowhere, Paul Craig threw up a triangle choke and bizarrely enough...
won the fight.
He won the fight with a second to go. Ankalaev had the fucking fight won, but he tapped with literally a second to go. He's won since then, Ankalaev, but... this guy's on a little bit of a mission, I think, to make a bit of a name for himself again. So I'm going to go with the Ankalaev stoppage, the opening up the main card in Prague.
Mm.
But it's good, man. It, you know, again, it's very heavily weighted towards European. So that Pedro Solli, the kid from Italy, is back on here as well against Dwight Grant. That could be a good fight. And there's, you know, it, like with all these European cards now, they're littered with these Dagestanians, these Russians. You know, there's a Kabalov on there, there's a Ismagobalov on there, there's fucking... I'm surprised...
Ismagobalov?
I'm surprised it's not...
Slobber down me cock, you bitch. He's from Russia. He's on there as well.
There's a few of them on there, yeah. There's a few...
Ismagobalov.
Ismagobalobadov. Yeah, yeah. They're all on there. So, yeah, man, it's one of them, as always, with these Fight Night cards... you don't stay away from them because you're bound to see something fucking crazy.
As soon as this podcast goes up, I know full well we're getting a message from Ben Chilli from the UFC going, you don't pronounce it like that. Yeah. Every week.
Maybe you should.
Maybe we should bring out our own little...
alternative commentary.
Yeah, like a little...
Ismagobalobadov has just tucked down the yummy yummy yabberets. Brilliant.
Make it
more
up
entertaining.
Just make it up as we go along.
Exactly, yeah.
Just start calling him... you know, like on the Fools and Horses? Just give him the, I'd call everybody Dave or something like that. Or give him an English name just to make it a little bit easier for everybody. Do you know, like when sometimes you phone a call centre,
yeah,
and they say that the name's Dave or Karen. No, no, you're fucking not. That's not your name, right? You're not called Dave. What's your real name? It's Dave. No, it's not. It's not at all, mate. Anyway, that's happening this weekend, so make sure you get stuck into it. Thank you very much for bearing with us and being very patient before the show came your way. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. We will be obviously back next week.
Yeah. I did a Molly McCann interview at the weekend as well.
Oh, you remembered, have you?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So if I don't get that up this week, I know we've got a lot
what
of...
What do you mean you won't get that up this week? You did it last weekend. What do you mean you won't get it up this week?
Well, we've got a lot of content going online this week. We've got the Fish Gold interview. You've got some boxing stuff going up there with the Gale and Eubank.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you know, I might save Molly till next week.
Right. Ahead of UFC London. Ah, see there what you're doing.
There we go, see what I mean.
See what you did there. Right, okay, fair enough.
I'm going to go and see Grundy this week as well. I didn't think he was around. Joe Grundy got married 2 weeks ago and Colm had him in the gym on the Monday morning.
No honeymoon, son.
Honeymoon on standby. You haven't even booked it yet. I said, right, there's our line in, waiting for his 50 grand bonus before he goes on holiday.
That's it.
So, yeah, man, he's
buzzing. Going to go full till, isn't he?
He's buzzing. I've seen him again on Saturday and he's fucking... he's buzzing, but he's buzzing Grundy like, and you know, Nad Amani, for all respect to Nad, you know, this is a fight that on paper,
this is life.
Yeah, man, this is it. You know, both these guys are gonna fucking go at it. I'm so excited for that London card. Can't wait to start talking about that because it's just packed.
Mm. you can subscribe to this via iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. FightDisciples.com is our website for Android feeds if you need Spotify or anything like that. And all our social media is at Fight Disciples, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Go there and you can get The Fight Disciples at The Fight Disciples on Instagram, all right? We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.